Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and subscribe in the upper right-hand corner and hit the plus sign and subscribe. We have Miranda Devine, Laptop from Hell, and Richard Barris gives us a mini Super Tuesday update. That's effectively what it is today. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Joining us right now is a friend of the program, someone who is super smart and does phenomenal research and investigations, Miranda Devine from the New York Post, also author of The Laptop from Hell. Miranda, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Thanks, Charlie. Great to be with you.
Thank you. So I want to talk to you about this story here. FBI Director Wray are in for a rude wake-up call over the Hunter Biden investigation. It's your latest piece up at the New York Post, nypost.com. What do you mean by that?
Well, on Thursday, Christopher Wray, the FBI director, appears in Congress before the Oversight Committee, and the Republicans there are planning to really grill him on a few very sinister and concerning issues that have come to the fore in the last week. You probably know already about Chuck Grassley has had several FBI whistleblowers come to him and give him information that basically the FBI just sat on, buried the Hunter Biden information that came out in 2020, in August 2020, when Grassley and Ron Johnson were both investigating the Hunter Biden and Burisma corruption connections. And then again in October 2020, which was, of course, the month that we at the New York Post broke the first story from Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop. And October was also the time, the month that Tony Bobulinski, the Navy veteran and former business partner of Hunter Biden, came forward publicly to say that Joe Biden was involved in his family's influence peddling scheme, that Joe Biden was the big guy who was slated to get 10% of one of the Chinese deals, and that Tony Bobulinski himself had met twice with Joe Biden to discuss these deals. So Bobulinski had a several-hour interview with the FBI then in October 2020. He also handed over the contents of his devices, which mirror a good part of what's on the laptop. They corroborate what's on the laptop. So the FBI had a lot of knowledge, and yet now Chuck Grassley is told sort of an explanation for why the FBI seemingly has done absolutely nothing with all that bombshell information that basically goes to America's national security and to the president. And the whistleblowers are saying it's because these particular agents who Chuck Grassley had names in a letter, but there would be probably others, but he's named Tim Tebolt and an analyst called Brian Orton. And they obstructed, buried, suppressed, according to Chuck Grassley's whistleblowers, any derogatory information about Hunter Biden, and also dismissed it as Russian disinformation.
I'm reading the article here and just kind of pointing out certain parts. I forget about some of the Biden scandals, Miranda. That's how many there are. It's that, that one. And then there's this issue. And then there's this one. I'm going to read, for example, in this piece here, it says, Grassley laid out the allegations last week in a letter to Wray and Attorney General Merrick Garland. In August of 2020, the FBI supervisory intelligence analyst Brian Auten, quote, opened an assessment which was used by FBI headquarters team to improperly discredit negative Hunter Biden information as disinformation and caused investigative activity to cease. Based on allegations verified and verifiable derogatory information on Hunter Biden was falsely labeled as disinformation, Grassley wrote. So when is the hearing when Christopher Wray goes in front of the Senate? Is that Thursday?
Thursday, this Thursday, 2 days from now. To tell you the truth, I'm not holding my breath that he'll do anything other than what the FBI always does, which is to say, oh, we can't comment on an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give the Bidens credit. They have a diversified portfolio of scandals. It's amazing. Every possible country, region of the world, industry, walk of life, family member is involved in this. And so they are going to come under pressure from the Senate. But I think there is some cynicism, though, Miranda, that our audience has, and you've done a phenomenal job in your book, Laptop from Hell, which is how much is it actually going to take to just hold one of these people accountable? Or are we really in this moment where there's the untouchable class, regardless of how gross and disgusting and flagrant your crimes are? If your last name happens to be Biden or Clinton or Obama, you're largely untouchable. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I mean, I share some of that cynicism. And of course, the influence peddling racket that Joe Biden was the past master of is a bipartisan disease in Washington. It's really corrosive, damaging, as we can see now, to our national security. But on the plus side, the Republicans are telling me in the House, in, you know, whether it's James Comer, Jim Jordan, a whole lot of them are very revved up. They're doing a lot of work right now to get on top of the information. They're talking to witnesses. Whistleblowers are coming forward. Kevin McCarthy has told them to be aggressive when it comes to the Hunter Biden material. So they will be having hearings. They will be subpoenaing witnesses. They will have subpoena power in the House, presuming they take back the House, which polls are showing they will. That will at least bring more information to light. But look, I think there's a very real possibility that Joe Biden may not finish his term. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, will the Republicans continue on with uncovering this information? And I mean, they definitely should, because, you know, the involvement of the FBI, the intelligence community, remember that that letter from the 51 former high-level
yes.
CIA operatives, including John Brennan,
yes.
all a joke, lying about the laptop, pretending it was Russian disinformation, getting Joe Biden off the hook, the involvement of big tech. What is the involvement between the Democrats and the FBI, the Democrats and big tech? That all needs to be flushed out yeah. and brought to the surface. And even if Joe Biden is no longer president, I think the Republicans are honor bound to continue uncovering it. And if they yes. don't, that just brings up questions about their own involvement and their own, you know, is there guilt among their own members?
Yeah. And I mean, but every 4 years, Miranda, there's another kind of harmony of corruption. So Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and that whole thing in 16. And then this one, yeah. you have the 50 intelligence officers, and the kind of thing that all has in common is they just get away with it. They will use the instruments of power. It just so happens Donald Trump was able to get around it in 2016, amazingly, because I think they underestimated him and they believed the polls. In 2020, they left nothing to
yeah.
chance. They left nothing yeah. to chance, from mail-in voting to the 50 intelligence people, which the whole thing was a fabrication, period. It was all a lie. And
same people as well, by the way. There are
that's such
links
an important
between
point. Yes,
you know, the FBI agents who are covering up the Hunter Biden stuff and the people who were involved in the Russia collusion.
Same actors.
Coach. Same actors.
When you do not hold these people accountable, they're
exactly.
going to continue their behavior. Laptop from
and Charlie,
hell. Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the FBI is never held accountable. You look at all the scandals in their history, whether it be 9/11, Ruby Ridge, Waco, Oklahoma City bombing, Atlanta bombing. Every time the FBI has failed, and never have
yep.
they been brought to account. And this is really the next task, is to really, I mean, it's got to be dismantled. Chuck Grassley's got a lot of good ideas. But I think they're just tinkering around the edges, things like, you know, increasing the power of the inspector general, improving whistleblower laws within the FBI. All of that is a good idea, but other people have stronger ideas about what needs to be done. And that means really basically splitting yep. the FBI in two, separating their intelligence facilities away from their law enforcement abilities.
We need a new Church and Pike Committee, and I encourage all of our listeners, go study J. Edgar Hoover. Go understand the history of the FBI. Having a domestic police force that could be deployed by an American political party is so deeply disturbing, and that's where we're at right now, where their sons and their daughters are protected, and yours are going to be targeted. Miranda Devine, thank you so much. Phenomenal as always.
Thanks, John.
Check it out. Laptop from Hell, great book. New York Post as well. Thank you so much, Miranda. Look, we talk about current events a lot on this show, but there's other things that are in life that are bigger than current events, bigger things. We try to do some shows every so often on these things. But look, what am I talking about when I say that? How about good and evil, right and wrong, prayer and the Bible, or heaven and hell? So look, the great C.S. Lewis, who's one of the most amazing minds ever to exist, was a master at addressing these questions. And that is why Hillsdale College, the great college, the only college, in my opinion, wants you to learn more about him and his writings in their newest free online course, C.S. Lewis on Christianity. And it all starts with taking a short quiz to find out how much you already know about Lewis. He wrote more than the Narnia series, by the way. Look, Hillsdale College is amazing. They defend liberty. They pursue truth. They do a great job. So just write this down. This should be your go-to resource. Remember, I have taken 16 of their online courses, and I have promised Dr. Arne I'm eventually going to finish them all. Go to charlie4hillsdale.com to take this fun interactive quiz and then sign up for this free course. The answers may even surprise you, even if you think you know everything about C.S. Lewis. They surprised me, my goodness. The quiz, the course, and everything you learn at Hillsdale College are yours for free, as always. So take the C.S. Lewis quiz right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. That is charlie4hillsdale.com. Take as many online courses as you can. The Constitution course is amazing, but their C.S. Lewis course is extraordinary. And by the way, Hillsdale College, just phenomenal. charlie4hillsdale.com. So yesterday, Donald Trump made a big announcement in Missouri, for Missouri. Now, I said something yesterday where I said, oh, we don't care about Missouri. I was joking. I love Missouri. Missouri's a great place. I spent a lot of time in Missouri. I have a lot of friends in Missouri, from Joplin to Springfield to Jefferson City to Cape Girardeau. Missouri gave us Rush Limbaugh. Dare I say anything more than that? So I was, of course, joking around. What I was saying is that we're focusing primarily on what's happening in Arizona. But yesterday, Donald Trump made an endorsement in the Missouri GOP Senate primary. Former President Donald Trump announced his endorsement of Eric. That's it, of Eric. You might say, well, who did he endorse? Well, there's two Erics running in the race, Eric Greitens and Eric Schmidt. Donald Trump sent out the following statement. This is a big election in the state of Missouri. We must send a MAGA champion and true warrior to the Senate, someone who will fight for border security, election integrity, our military, and our great veterans. Together with having a powerful toughness on crime and the border, we need a person who will not fight, will not back down to the radical left lunatics who are destroying America, and will fight. I trust the great people of Missouri on this one to make up their own minds as much as they did. And so therefore, I'm proud to announce that Eric, in all caps, has my complete and total endorsement. I'm not specifying which one, Eric Greitens or Eric Schmidt. They're both Erics, just so you understand. And so then both Erics jump on. Eric Greitens says, I'm honored to receive President Trump's endorsement. And then Eric Schmidt says, I'm grateful for President Trump's endorsement. Only further confusing what has been a very, very confusing Missouri primary. Schmidt says in the following, he says this, as the only America First candidate who has actually fought for election integrity, border security, and against the left's indoctrination of our kids, I'll take that fight to save America in the United States Senate. But both Eric Schmidt and Eric Greitens have both said they're not going to support Mitch McConnell as leader of the U.S. Senate. That is very unique, largely because they don't need McConnell money probably in the general election in Missouri to win in what looks to be possibly a wave year. Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped MyPillow become an amazing company and really honestly become what it is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, great American, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now it's only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and they have a cold, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out today on this incredible offer. This is a limited-time supply, so make sure to order now. Go to 1-800-875-0425 now and use promo code Kirk, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell quick, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Joining us right now is a great American, Rich Barris. And if I get my way, he's going to be joining us for some portion tonight on our live stream. Richard Barris, everybody, from Big Data Polls and People's Pundit. Rich, how you doing, man?
Doing all right, buddy. How you doing?
Very good. So, Rich, there's a lot happening right now. Initial reports are showing less than favorable turnout in Arizona. It's still very early. It's only 10:35 local time right now, so polls have only been up for a couple hours. What would lower turnout mean for Carrie Lake and Blake Masters here in Arizona?
Yeah, so actually, lower turnout would be bad for them. So this is what the Republican establishment is hoping for, which is lower turnout, older voters, which Robeson was, look, in our polling, and it really does depend on which polling you're looking at. But our polling, Charlie, and others generally found that Robeson did well around 70 plus, right? So if it's lower turnout and it's less younger people, then it could be closer than expected. But it really does depend on the polling you're looking at, because we did not have Robeson winning any age group until you got above that 70, 65 plus was still about even with us, because the 65 to 74 Carrie Lake did well with. Same thing with Blake Masters, only it's easier. If it's lower turnout, it'll be easier for Blake Masters still to maintain a comfortable lead, because it's more of a fractured field. But the younger the voters, the better it is for Carrie Lake. That being said, Charlie, she dominated every other age group. So even, I mean, we'll see how low, at this point.
It seems that there's this interesting demographic phenomenon I want to explore with you, Richard. It's happening across the country, which is the radicalization of Gen X, where you just articulated something, that baby boomers 70 plus, they tend to be more establishment Republican or comfortable with Joe Biden. Now, we're going to get a slew of emails, by the way. Charlie, I'm 78 and I hate Joe Biden. There's exceptions to it.
I got it yesterday.
No, I know. But I do think it's demographically interesting. We never talked about this before, Rich, that Gen X, that, so think about Josh Hawley, that is Ron DeSantis, right? That's Donald Trump Jr. That's Tom Cotton. That's Ted Cruz. That's Gen X. They're kind of right in that middle group. They're not necessarily super young. They're definitely not baby boomers. But Gen Xers are people that have kids that are anywhere between 5 years old to 18 years old. They're becoming super right wing in more ways than one. Not only that, but in primaries, they are demanding and they are voting for the more conservative candidate. Is that correct, Rich?
Yeah, and if you look, it's we did by generation, Charlie, by age. Arizona's a great state for that. So is Florida. So is Texas. So is Nevada, by the way. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is, because we've asked this before, and I really think what it comes down to is, and we got those emails as well, and I understand if you have a mom or you are that age group and you voted for Carrie Lake, I'm not saying there's not going to be supporters in that age group. I'm saying we're talking about margins, statistics. Polling. But the bottom line is, the older voters tend to have this idea, Charlie, that how could I put this? They tend to have like faith still in authority, and they grew up in this more stable America. And they have this view where you would ask them, you know, how bad do you think things can get? And they would say, you know, it's America. In the end, things are going to be okay. That's how they talk to us, right? Whereas the younger generation, the younger generation is like, look, I have to live the rest of my life. And this is 30, 40 years. We can't survive this. You know, so they have a very different take. Plus, they're in their prime working years. When we're talking about people who are generally cared for and comfortable in their golden years, their latter years, and they have less, it's less pressing to them. Charlie, they could worry about COVID in 2020. They could worry more about COVID and not what may happen to the economy, you know, a little bit more than someone who's working. And it, to them, shutting down was responsible. To the worker, shutting down was life ending, you know. So it's just very different. Plus, the younger generation is a little bit, they're more realistic. That's, be honest, a little bit more realistic. Like, look, we've been living in a sense of false security for many, many years. You know, and, you know, since really the '60s, you know, that's when, you know, that's a turning point for them. And that, if we don't right this ship quick, that we're going to be the first to deal with something truly cataclysmic. And the older generation does not have that sense of urgency. They don't.
Yes.
And by the way, makes sense because they don't have that much longer to go. I'm not trying to be cruel here. I'm just being honest.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at every poll. So, for example, Joe Biden is underwater with every age demographic except 65-plus voters. 65-plus voters generally think Joe Biden's doing pretty well. And 65-plus voters... Yeah, please continue.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, that it really does, too. How much will that help Robeson? Well, that really, I think, and I did a little bit of this yesterday on Twitter. If you look at Ohio Predictive's crosstabs, and you look at my crosstabs, and you look at, like, Alloy's, we reached voters differently than some of these other polls that showed that it was close. Let's be honest, folks. There's only one poll showing that race was close. All right. The rest of them are not close. Mm-hmm. Even if we weighted half of the electorate to 65 plus, 50%, Carrie Lake would still be leading. I just want to be clear here. All right. It's just I'm trying to explain to you that mode of collection matters. If you did like that one poll did and you used IVR, which is interactive voice response, it's illegal to call cell phones. So you can't text it. Technology's not there. You can't text people. If you did landline IVR interviews, then you got a more favorable result for Robeson. If you did any online paneling or you did SMS or you did cell phones, live call cell phone interviews, then you had more favorable responses for Carrie Lake. So I'm just trying to help people understand
people are polling with landlines?
That Emerson poll is IVR. It's
I don't know one person who has a landline.
Well, the 65 plus do. That's what I'm trying to say. So your 65 plus category is going to be weighted more toward the later life if you used a lot of interactive voice response landline interviews. Any of us who reach the 65 plus through SMS show something different, which is from 65 to 74, it's actually rather favorable to Carrie Lake. Or, like, you know, it's not a blowout, the 25-point blowout like it is among 30 to 54-year-olds. That's a huge margin for Carrie Lake. But it is closer if you definitely look at just seniors. And then also how you reach those seniors, it definitely matters. Rasmussen, by the way, they had a 9-point lead for Lake. That's why it's a little bit closer than some others, because they used IVR, but they didn't heavily weight that IVR like Emerson did. Emerson is extremely weighted towards it. Rasmussen still contacted seniors on online polling, and that's why.
Do you think there's any concern or danger in these kind of polls that might hurt that front runner, where supporters think, oh, they're already going to win by a lot, what's the point?
That is always a concern for someone who has a front runner status like Carrie Lake and Blake Masters. And if you look at the undecideds, Charlie, they could win in both of these candidates should and could win by 15 to 20 point blowouts if all of those working class people go and vote later or have already submitted their ballot and it's just not being counted yet, which, by the way, that could happen. The late arrivals are definitely underestimated. So it's working class. The people who were undecided, not just my polling, all of the polling was largely working class. The seniors who said they were going to vote for Karen Taylor Robeson, they were already decided. We were looking at about 6% undecided in that group compared to others who were upwards of 20-25. And by the way, again, Carrie Lake, I think, had a big enough lead, Charlie, where you would seriously would have to seriously go wrong. I mean, it really is not that close. It's just that even the Trafalgar poll, by the way, that came out late last night, that's almost 50% senior. So again, just to give everybody an idea of how big her leads are with these other age groups, it's still a commanding lead, but it can, you know, dismiss the importance of an election when someone thinks they're, you know, when someone is being portrayed as that far ahead. Sure. But I don't know that Robeson had enough strength even with those seniors.
I really think it would be very difficult, Charlie. I want to be clear. We're not attacking seniors. We just see the world differently than some seniors do. 75.
That's right.
70 yeah. plus. For example, we got an email here. Charlie, I completely agree with what Richard is saying here. I saw this in action over the weekend as we were at a Republican booth at the fair, and a lot of the older generation were far more for establishment candidates. And look, I mean, Richard, you know, the younger generation, they can't afford homes. They have to live under this wokeism day to day. They don't have really any net worth to speak of. They're getting poorer every single day as inflation increases. I see it with our young people here at Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action every single day. And they don't want the same sort of establishment candidate. In fact, they think the establishment has really hurt them. In fact, they're saying, wait a second, where is the American dream for me exactly? And don't tell a young person to work harder. Our kids are working really hard around here.
That's right.
They can't afford a down payment for a home. Everything here in Phoenix is three times as more expensive it was than it was 5 years ago. And they're working their tail off. And yet they have college loan debt they have to service. They have credit card debt. Everything is going up majorly. They say, well, let's go vote for the candidate that's going to keep things the way they are. And I think you said it beautifully. I sent a message to our team. This is super smart. The older generation, they say, okay, we might be able to tinker around the edges, but the establishment is what keeps America strong. Richard, there is a theory that Donald Trump should announce for president before the midterm elections, maybe to help boost turnout. What do you think of that idea?
I think it's a horrible idea. I really do. And here's why, Charlie. For lack of a better phrase, to hell with them. Let them pull this off on their own. I do think he needs to campaign for Senate candidates. He single-handedly saved the U.S. Senate, Republican majority in the U.S. Senate in 2018. That is without a doubt. He helped candidates perform better in 2020. Yet everything that went wrong, they blamed him for. So if he announces before and they do and they put up an average performance in the House and Senate, they're going to blame him. They're going to scapegoat him. So I would wait if I was him. Personally, I would go and campaign for everybody, but don't make that announcement yet. And I did get bombarded over the break with a bunch of texts and messages of people.
Oh yeah, no, we got a lot. They don't like you, Richard. They don't like
you
after this.
I'll tell you this.
I'll read one of them, but go ahead first. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to give, because one of them is like, well, what does that mean? It's going to be a huge polling miss. No, that's not what I'm saying here. It really does. For instance, in the 65 plus category, there's a difference between 65 to 74 and 75 plus. So even the 65 to 74, if you look at people like myself and Data Orbital and Ohio Predictive, we still had Lake leading among that group. It got much closer when you looked at 65 and up, where in Ohio Predictive, that's the difference between their 18-point lead and some of us who have around a 10 to 14, mm-hmm. how well that group is doing. So they actually have ropes only up by two in that group. We had her up by four in that group. So we're not talking about, you know, huge blowouts. The only one who showed a large lead among that group was that one poll. And I'm telling you, it's because of the IVR. The rest of us showed blowouts in every other age group. And I also did get a lot of information. Maricopa, I can tell you, look at Maricopa. There's been about 200,000 ballots. Republicans and Democrats were really close to how many ballots have been returned. But as of this morning, that first check-in in Maricopa, 85% Republicans are thrashing in-person election day is all Republican today almost. So,
good. Well, that's updated numbers because we checked on it.
It's a big deal. That's a big deal.
We did a little bit of a temperature check around 8 a.m. and it wasn't good. So what it's showing is that it's ramping up and that –
a little bit, yeah,
It needs to get higher. Tyler knows the numbers better than I do, and he'll be on the live stream with us tonight, which I hope you can join us, Rich. You have an open invite to that. What other races are you looking at tonight, Richard, that you think will be instructive and important for people to keep their eye on?
You know, I before I leave Arizona, I just want to say that Arizona is so important because it is about that generational divide, and it's not to pit anyone against each other. It's very simple, Charlie. If the Republican Party wants to be a viable national political force, then they need the more diverse and younger generations. Which one would you rather be, dominant among a generation and a statistic that is shrinking, or one that is growing? I mean, I'm just using I have a math mind, but Michigan also is very important.
Yeah, Tudor Dixon, right?
You have, Yes. You have Tudor Dixon, who was already leading. But after that Trump endorsement, there is a limit to how much she could rise, even with the Trump endorsement, because of how many people had voted. But it's been hard for us to catch the surges from last minute endorsements from Donald Trump. Doug Mastriano did not look like he was going to exceed anywhere near 40%. He did. Look at, for instance, Darren Bailey in Illinois. Everyone thought the vote had been banked and it was really going to be difficult for Darren Bailey to get anywhere near 50. Obviously, he romped it. So don't be surprised if some of these races are over much quicker than anyone thinks. John Gibbs in Michigan 3 is so important. He had that race. It is. I pulled that race. And if John, you know, he was working his tail off without a doubt. When we pulled it, Gibbs had a lead, and still half the Republican electorate didn't know that Donald Trump endorsed him. When told about that, you were looking at margins that exceeded the impeacher in South Carolina 7. Good. So this could be, it's a big tonight. And then, of course, Joe Kent in Washington, in Washington 3, where they really spent almost $5 million in the last 2 weeks to try to trick the Republican electorate into thinking that Donald Trump endorsed somebody else. So we're going to be watching these races to see how, you know, it's still, no matter what, even in modern day, hard to break through the media narratives.
Rich Barris, Big Data Polls. God bless you, Rich. Thank you so much, as always. And deeply appreciate your commentary. Hope to see you tonight on Real America's Voice. You guys will see us again tonight. I think we're going to go live around 6. Has that been confirmed yet, Connor? And we'll also be on Rumble. We will be on Getter. We're going to be covering all the results live. So if you guys want to see the results as they come in, rumble.com, The Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you subscribe to The Charlie Kirk Show on your phone, podcast app. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.